Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Person that was in the league when I was younger said to me and to our staff years ago, hey, it's one thing to have a game plan, but it's another thing to have a staff that is able to adjust in the midst of a game, whether it is at halftime or, you know, second quarter, what have you. That's critical. But it takes two, right? It takes the staff to be able to know how to do that, but also then the players have to execute that, because you can have adjustments, but the players aren't in a spot or space where they're able to adjust and execute those adjustments. And so that combination of buy-in from the players is huge for us.
All right, that's Bills head coach Sean McDermott from earlier this week. He's going to join me here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show during this hour. So be ready for that. We will have the Bills head coach give us a final Friday injury outlook for the Bills. What will happen today at practice? Maybe injury designations. Oftentimes we know who's declared out, who's questionable. We already know that kicker Matt Prater is out for this game. Defensive tackle Jordan Phillips is out for this game. We know the Bills have already signed Michael Badgley, a kicker, as a replacement to the practice squad. What about Mitch Wishnowsky, though, the punter? If Mitch Wishnowsky is, if his injury is going to impact his status for Sunday, the Bills would be down their kicker, their punter, and their holder. So the Bills will have to scramble with that. I mean, special teams, and they've been very good on special teams lately, and you know, this year as a whole, except for punt return numbers, are not great. They don't have a true punt returner. Khalil Shakir's been doing it, and I shouldn't say it like that, but he's a guy who's a wide receiver. He's a guy they put back there that they trust, but maybe they're getting Mecole Hardman back this week. We'll see. He's been on IR. He's on IR to return. We'll ask Sean McDermott about his status as well for Sunday, whether or not, you know, he expects him to be able to play, if there's a possibility he could play. But that being said, going back to what I was just talking about, if the Bills have to scramble on special teams, I mean, that's something they're going to have to be aware of, because that's how the Browns beat the Packers earlier this year. Go back and look at some of the big special teams plays. I think there were two block kicks in that game, block punt, block field goal, or block extra point, block field goal, either way. There were big special teams in that game. And there were big special teams plays in this previous game for the Bills against the Patriots. McDermott talking right there about adjustments. I love it, because the Bills have been great at these second half adjustments. Great. And if you want to spin it to, well, they have had bad starts and they're getting they have bad game plans, that's fine. I would argue that they're underhanded a bit on defense especially, so teams are coming out with a good game plan on how to attack them, and then the Bills have to figure it out on the fly. And they were able to do that last week. Remember, the Patriots had 2 weeks to prepare. I mean, heck, the Falcons did too. But, you know, it was just the luck of the draw this year at the schedule. Not an excuse. And the Bills did fall behind. You hope that they don't fall behind enough in a playoff game in a situation like that where they can't catch up. But they've been able to lately because, A, They've made great second half adjustments and execution along with those adjustments. Credit to Sean McDermott. Credit to his defensive staff. And B, Josh Allen either is Superman or running an offense that just stays calm enough to do everything they're supposed to do and march on. And that's what happened last week against the Patriots. And then you get Vrabel last week on Monday. Here's his team that couldn't make an adjustment at all to save their team and game in the second half. And he goes on the local radio the next day and starts whining about the Bills didn't get enough holding calls in the game. And I mentioned it on Monday. I called him a crybaby. And on Tuesday, our Odyssey sister station, WEEI, played that clip and kind of went after me a little bit. Not viciously, but... And then basically said that one of the people there said that Sean McDermott blamed the AFC Championship loss on the Chiefs. I'm like, what? I mean, on the refs. Blamed it on the refs. When did that happen? I didn't see that. So anyway, I know there were questions about the fourth downs and spots and all that, but man, a little bit of coping going on in New England after last week. It's kind of a weird week. You know what? That's cool with fans though, right? That's what you do. You get into it with fans and the media and you're covering these teams and you're watching the fans and you're giving your takes on everything that's happening and they go back and forth and the radio host makes for entertainment. It's okay. But I just thought that was kind of bizarre last week. I really did. That's the route that Vrabel took. And a lot of you pointed out, he's probably softening up the officials in case they play again or down the road. Excuse me. Softening up the officials in case they play the Bills in the playoffs again down the road. And this could very well be true, calculated. I'd also tell you, you could go the other way. There are officials who would say, yeah, you want to do that and call us out? Well, guess what? You ain't getting any more calls now. I'm going to be a little more strict. So anyway, that happened last week. Sean McDermott will join us here in just a little while in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Bills-Browns. My first ever Bills road game. I was a 10th grader at my awesome alma mater, Cleveland Hill High School. Shout out to my Golden Eagles every time I can. And the Bills in 1989 go to the playoffs in the divisional round. They had gone to the AFC Championship the year before. They lose to the Bengals. They go to the divisional round the next year, bickering Bills year. They go to Cleveland. My dad drives me and a couple of my friends to the game in Cleveland. Playoff game. I camped out for tickets, whatever. Some road tickets, you can do that back in the day. You had to go to the facility, camp out. There was banks that sold them. Not like today with online Ticketmaster and all that. My dad drives us to Cleveland. And I will say, as a few teenage boys, we were not treated very nicely by people in Cleveland that day. Now they're rooting for their team. It was the dog pound. I get it. It was old Cleveland Stadium. And in this game, January 6th of 1990, 89 season, up until, and I hate to say this, the year the Bills lost with 13 seconds left to Kansas City, up until that game, this Bills-Browns playoff game in 89 was the best football game I had ever attended in person. It was incredible. In this game, Jim Kelly threw for 405 yards. Bernie Kosar threw for 251 and three touchdowns. Thurman Thomas, he only ran for 27, but he actually caught 150 yards in passes. Thurman was amazing. Okay. Andre Reed, 6 for 115. On the other side, Webster Slaughter, 3 for 114. You had Eric Metcalf returning a kickoff for the Cleveland Browns. 90 yards. To put them up 10. Then the Bills come back with a field goal. Browns come back with a field goal. In this game, the Bills missed an extra point because Scott Norwood slipped. And because of that, they were down four at the end instead of three. If he makes the extra point without slipping, they're down three. They only need a field goal at the end of the game. They go to overtime. But because they needed 4 points, the Bills had to score a touchdown late in the game. And this is the game where Kelly throws to the back corner of the end zone. Ronnie Harmon short arms it, comes up short. They don't score. Call the drop pass. Next play, Clay Matthews steps in front of Thurman, intercepted. And on the way home, I just remember a bunch of Cleveland fans really being not nice to me and my friends who were teenagers at the time and saying some really cruel, awful things. And I really did not like Cleveland sports after that for quite a while. I always rooted against them. Don't get a championship before Buffalo. Can't have that. You're just like us. Wallowing in tough losses, whether it's Jordan and in the Cavs, the fumble, the drive, Elway. I was always, yep, that can't have Cleveland win. And then LeBron came along. And I think I loved what he did for Cleveland and their sports scene. And yeah, I'm a LeBron fan. And he went, he left, and then he came back. And I'm like, you know what? Give Cleveland a championship. I was okay with it. They won. I was happy for them. Don't have that that jealousy and hatred anymore that I used to for our sister city by the lake, I guess you'd say. That was a great game, though. Maureen in Lancaster. Hi, Maureen.
Oh, hi, Sal. Excuse me. I haven't been talking much today, so I don't have my talking voice.
That's okay.
Yeah, I've been listening to you, and actually, since the Bills' victory in New England on Sunday, I've listened to a lot of the follow-up calls and stuff on that WEEI or whatever.
Yeah.
We really are in their head. And that Vrabel comment, when you mentioned that on Monday, I went back and listened to that whole conversation. He is really, I don't know how to explain it. I am so proud of our coach. He never makes excuses for the team. You know, he takes, if it's a loss, it's a loss. He doesn't make excuses. He doesn't point to the other team as being the reason why we lost. And if anybody questions the connection Sean McDermott has with his players, all they need to do is to watch the celebrations in the locker room after a game, the connection the players have with him. There is a lot of love, and he does not get the credit throughout the league for being the kind of person and coach he is. You know, they're already touting who will be the next coach of the year, and Mike Vrabel, he's done this and done that. You know, who was the coach that brought the team back after they witnessed one of their own players literally dying on the field and continued that season? No, the season didn't turn out the way they wanted, but he had to keep that team together. There is very little recognition, I think, throughout the league with a person like Sean McDermott. He's such a solid human being who cares about his players, who celebrates when they need to celebrate, but he is just a very good human being. And I'm always appalled when people are saying, oh, fire him. That's ridiculous. He has built such a core of great men and treats them like men, and it celebrates with them. I don't mean to ramble, but sometimes I get so annoyed.
I can tell. It's okay.
You know, hear all this crap on other. Ugh.
Yeah.
We have one of the best guys, and there would never be a reason after what he and Bean have built. Yes, not everything is perfect. Not every team gets every call right, every draft choice right. But he doesn't kick people to the curb. He is a kind human being, and I love him.
Maureen, thanks for calling. It's been a while since I heard from you. Hope you have a happy holiday.
Yes.
Thank you.
Same to you.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks for the phone call. Nice call there. I thought McDermott should have got a lot more love for the coach of the year that year, for what the Bills went through that year, for sure. But it goes without saying, yeah. I mean, you know, he's a very good football coach, and I've not heard him blaming officials for losses. And oh my God, there weren't enough holding calls. I mean, that was just ridiculous last week. What went on in WEEI and but they played my comments, and then I had to deal with Patriots fans coming at me. But hey, that's just It's the life we've chosen, as they say. We'll take a timeout. Sean McDermott on the other side. I'll get into more Bills Browns memories as we go on as well as a look ahead to the Week 16 schedule. But Bills head coach Sean McDermott joins me after this break here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday on WGR. Going through some Browns memories earlier, the 89 playoff game. Fantastic football game. Didn't work out for the Bills. My buddy Matt Perino, Syracuse.com, texted me. His first memory, Bill's memory, was BB getting bounced on his head. That was the same game. The officials blew that one, by the way. That should have been an interception on the Bills and Jim Kelly because the ball never hit the ground. They called it an incomplete pass. Ball never hit the ground. Can't be an incomplete pass. And I guess, well, I have to go back and look at it. I guess he would have been down by contact. I have to look now at the contact. BB on head. Let's see if I can find it again now. Is the play right here? Here it is. Hold on. Don BB going up. And, oh, he would have been down by contact. All right. Bam. Oh, did he maintain possession, though? So it's either down by contact or an interception. The ball never hits the ground. But there you go. That's one. If you want to talk about the worst games in Bills history, you might also come up with a Cleveland Browns game. Raise your hand if you reluctantly remember 6-3. In 2009 here in Buffalo. Yep. That happened. October 11, 2009. Dick Geron against Eric Mangini. Billy Cundiff, Ryan Lindell, Billy Cundiff. That was the scoring. 3 points, 3 points, 3 points. Starting quarterbacks in this game. Ladies and gentlemen, Derek Anderson, 2 of 17 for Cleveland, and they win the game. Trent Edwards, 16 of 31, 152 yards. The other quarterback was 2 of 17 for 23 yards, and that's the dude who won. That was 6-3.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
One of the worst games ever played in Bills history. There's been some, I mean, the Bills played a Monday night game. I don't know if you remember this one. The Bills played a Monday night game in 95. It was right after it was announced that the Browns were moving to Baltimore. And I remember this. And it was terrible in Cleveland. Like, that night, people came with signs, big time, like, disparaging things against Art Modell, their owner. I mean, they were obviously very upset. 95. It was just announced the Browns are going to move to Baltimore. Bills play a Monday night in October that week, and everybody knows that's it. They're not going to be in Cleveland anymore. This legacy team, they've been there a long time. And the Bills win that game in Baltimore. This was a game that Justin Armour caught a touchdown pass from Jim Kelly. So that was a memorable moment for something a little bit different than on the field in the scores. Then you had the Blizzard game. The Blizzard game in Cleveland. We talked about it earlier. 2007, Bills lose 8-0. Marjorie in Geneva has a Bills-Browns memory. Hi, Marjorie.
Hi there.
What do you got?
So I was a freshman in college, and I was going to college in Boston, and my dad wanted to take me to an away game that year. So we went to Bills-Browns. It was fall of 94. It was the year that the Browns was having all of the talk about moving. And so the fans were especially salty, upset, all this stuff. And my dad kept telling me, you know, don't wear your Bills anything. But, of course, I show up in my Jim Kelly jersey. We go to the game. It goes to the last second, and Steve Christie lines up for the game-winning field goal and misses it. But Cleveland had called the timeout. He gets to re-kick. It goes through. We get beer all spilled over us. Mm. We get back to the parking lot. The car is keyed.
Oh, no. This is the game. This is the game I just referenced. It was 95, and okay. Christie kicks 95. It with 8 seconds left in the game to win it. You're right.
Yep.
22-19.
Yes.
Yep.
And then the next morning, they go to drive me to the airport to catch the flight back to Boston, and we literally listened to the OJ verdict on the radio before.
Wow. Really? That would have been the time. That's right. 95, October. Wow. Oh, my gosh. Wow. That's an amazing, amazing memory, Marjorie.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. Happy holidays to you. Let's go to Chris in Buffalo's got one. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Sal. How are you?
I'm good,
bud.
Good
to talk to you.
Yep.
My son, 9 years old, his first game was the 6-3 game, Cleveland in Buffalo. And, you know, no tailgating. We snuck in at the last minute. I had gotten tickets from a vendor for the Jim Kelly suite, so we were set up. And it was a miserable game. And at halftime, I was like, okay, Ben, let's go. He's like, but Dad, the game's not over. I was like, Ben, the game's over. Trust me. But we stayed to the bitter end, and it was worst experience ever, but... He's 25 now, and he's experiencing winning Bills, so good turn of story here.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you, I was not living in Buffalo for that game at the time, but that 6-3 game, I know a lot of you bring up as just one to absolutely forget. All right, let's get to Bills head coach Sean McDermott right now, who joins me on the Nordtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
You're listening to Buffalo Bills Football Friday on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Kaleida Health, the official healthcare provider of the Buffalo Bills. And by Northtown Kia, West New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. Now, here's Sal Capaccio with Buffalo Bills head coach, Sean McDermott.
Sean McDermott joins me on the West Her Hotline right now. Good morning, Coach. Happy Football Friday to you.
Good morning. Good morning to you, Sal, and everyone out there. Happy Football Friday as well.
All right, before we get into this game, we like to rewind a little bit sometimes and talk about last week. And I think obviously a big talking point was your comeback against the New England Patriots the second week in a row, and obviously a few times this has happened this year. How does halftime work for you guys? Can you kind of walk everybody through the process? Like, how do you get to make those adjustments? I mean, I even know I got to do a quick radio hit, and there's not enough time for me to maybe get a sandwich in between halftime. There's not a lot of time. So how does it work for your coaches, your players to get together and make those adjustments?
Yeah, no, it goes a lot faster than when you're kind of at home, you know, taking a bathroom break, grabbing a turkey sandwich, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
It goes a lot faster when you're actually going through it. So you try and get a second or two to give the players a chance to catch their breath, meet with the training staff if they have anything going on. And then as a coaching staff, we meet, obviously offense meets with offense, defense, so on and so forth. And then you bring your ideas and adjustments to the players in the last, call it minute. It's almost kind of in some ways like a pit stop, right, where you've got to get a lot of information and a lot of things done in a short amount of time, but it's got to be as efficient as possible.
And I know we've talked about this with Eric Wood in the broadcast a lot. As a former offensive lineman, he'll say, like, a lot of the adjustments are coming after each series, but you're just so much into the game, you can't kind of sit back and just kind of take stock of everything right away because everything's going so fast, right? So you're still making adjustments during the game. They might not necessarily work out, but you might have to kind of correct things as you go. How much of on the fly is happening and doing that from series to series as well?
No, that's exactly right. He was right. And you try and get that going as soon as you can. There's a lot of teams that even more and more now that are doing these, they scripted, you know, start of a series, or excuse me, start of a game where they script out the first X amount of plays. And so some of those plays are new and they're game plan plays specific to your team. And so some of the adjustments are in reaction to those plays because you haven't seen them before. Or they've copycatted them from another opponent that you may have faced earlier in the year. So it's a big kind of wave coming at you early in the game that you have to respond to more than anything.
And then Josh said that one of the things that really helped them was that big kick return out of halftime. And that leads me where I want to go next. Ray Davis suddenly now leading the NFL in yards per kick return, over 32 yards a kick return. He has really found a nice role here. Chris Tabor has found a nice role. You guys have. Can you kind of just speak a little bit to what Ray has brought to the table in that particular role this year?
No, it's a good thing for us. You know, we were kind of struggling in the return game, both punt and kick return, and trying to find different personnel that could work in there. And now we've come across Ray, who's taking advantage of the opportunity. And Coach Tate and Coach West have done a really good job of scheming it up from a blocking standpoint. And then the other 10 guys out there with him have done a phenomenal job as well. And terms of creating some lanes for him. So Ray's done a great job, and it's good because, you know, that field position is huge for us.
And speaking of creating, Chris Tabor created something new last week. Reggie Gilliam is a lead blocker. Alec Anderson is a lead blocker. I spoke with Ray and with Reggie Gilliam about this, and they got smiles on their face about how cool it is to walk into a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday meeting, whatever it is, and Coach Tabor goes, here's what we're thinking about this week, and you can be really creative now. And how much does that kind of help those guys get a little bit more amped up and juiced up for that play?
Yeah, the more people you can involve, the better, right? Everyone gets a little bit of a piece of the game plan, and week to week you go into the meeting room and you're wondering, hey, am I the guy this week? How am I going to be used? So that's really been effective for us.
Sean McDermott on the West Her Hotline. All right, Coach, you talked about the return game. I'll ask you about Mecole Hardman to start. Is there a chance that he could wind up being active this week and where that's trending and how he's looked so far in practice?
Yeah, so he's practiced this week, first week opening his window, coming off of IR, and we'll see how it goes, today included, and then see how he feels tomorrow. So there's a chance. We'll see how it goes.
All right, let's talk about the other guys. You have a bit of a lengthy report after Thursday. Is there anybody you know will not play in addition to what you told us earlier this week with Matt Prater and Jordan Phillips?
Yeah, so those two, and then we'll add Chase Lunt to that, who's been primarily inactive for the games for the most part. And then Cam Lewis will not practice today. We'll see how he does the rest of the day today and tomorrow. Daquan Jones and Taron Johnson will be on a vet rest day and somewhat of an injury management situation that they have going on there.
Okay, and then obviously a couple guys showed up. Mitch Wisnowski's a guy, obviously you're already without your kicker. He's dealing with a right quad after a right knee, excuse me, after yesterday. He's not only the punter but also the holder. Where do you think things stand with him right now?
Yeah, he's nursing a little bit of a knee. We'll see how he does the rest of the day today and into tomorrow as well.
And then is Dalton Kincaid's knee injury a new injury or something you guys are managing through, and will he practice today?
Yeah, it's not a new injury. It's something we're managing. He's been managing pretty much all season and a little bit going back to last year as well. So we're trying to be smart with him as much as possible here.
Deion okay, Coach? Is he feeling a little better?
He is. He's back in the building today. He's been out the last couple of days with an illness, so he looks better today.
And then finally, last one. Sorry, I know there's a lot of names here. Christian, how do you think Christian has gotten through the first few days this week after missing last week's game?
I think he's improved. He really has, and it's good to have him trending in the right direction. We'll see where it goes. Today he'll be full, and hopefully he can come out of today's practice not sore and ready for the game.
You look at the Cleveland Browns, of course, Myles Garrett gets all the attention. We'll talk about him in a second, but overall, Coach, I mean, their numbers on defense are really, really good. What do you like about that side of the ball, independent even of their excellent pass rusher, of course?
No, they've got Myles Garrett. That's where everything starts, as we all know, up front, and your ability to, you know, establish the line of scrimmage, win the line of scrimmage, and then affect the quarterback and be disruptive. That's where it starts, and we'll see if one of their corners plays, but you know, they've got a good cornerback group that allows them to play man to man. That combined with their pass rush is really the kind of the core of where their defense begins. So They've done a good job building it.
And, you know, Miles is so great at rushing the passer. We know that he's on, you know, he's getting close to the record, but boy, he's a great run defender too. Do you think that sometimes, I know it's great to get the highlight stats and the accolades when guys are great pass rushers, but sometimes maybe they don't get enough credit for how good of run defenders they are when they're that great at it?
Yeah, that's true. That is true. That gets celebrated a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
In terms of numbers and whatnot, but in order to rush the passer, you got to be able to stop the run, and they've done a good job of that as well. Very, very twitchy, physical, sticky defense in terms of what they're able to do in the coverage end as well.
All right, and then on the offensive side, Junkins, a nice young running back, and yards after contact. How important will tackling be this week for you guys?
Yeah, that's huge. You said it. We've got to be able to establish a line of scrimmage, get to the football, and very rarely does he go down with a solo tackle, so we've got to make sure we can gang tackle.
And then finally, Coach, Shedeur Sanders, rookie quarterback. Obviously, you've seen some of him on film, some highlight plays. What do you see from the youngster in Cleveland?
Yeah, very talented player. Obviously, well decorated in terms of his career and what he did in college and even before that. So he's got that pedigree. You know, he's probably statistically improved their offense since he's been the starter the last three games or so. And so it'll be a challenge for us. And we're expecting some weather over there as well in terms of wind. So we'll have to manage that as well.
All right, Coach, listen, I will not speak to you here on the radio until after Christmas. So I hope you and your family have an amazing Christmas. Of course, good luck on Sunday in Cleveland.
Well, Merry Christmas to everyone out there, to you and your family as well, Sal, and happy holidays to everyone.
All right, you got it. That is Sean McDermott. Thanks a lot, Coach. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care. Thank you.
All right, you got it. Sean McDermott on the Wester Hotline. So good news, I think, that just the two guys we already knew are going to be out this week. Cam Lewis will not practice today, then they'll see. And then Daquan Jones, Taron Johnson managing some injuries, getting through that. They'll have rest days today, so we'll see where it all goes, folks. All right? We're going to get Pat Hammer here on the weather. Sean said we were expecting a little bit of weather. Ooh, a nice little tee up for our guy Pat Hammer here, who's going to join us to tell us a little bit about what it's going to be like in Cleveland. It will not be like that 2007 game, folks, okay? I can promise you that blizzard game the Bills had in 2007. But let's get him to him right now, Patrick Hammer.
Break it down.
When you need to know what to wear, is it going to rain? Is it going to snow? What to prepare for? You're about to find out. Here's Sal Capaccio with your game day forecast with Channel 2 weatherman extraordinaire. Here's Patrick.
Have a time.
Pat Hammer on the Wester Hotline. WGRZ TV2 chief meteorologist. Sean just teed you up. I don't know if you know that. He's kind of teed you up. I mean, I asked him about Shedeur Sanders. Talks about the young rookie, and then he throws in. He goes, you know, it might be a little windy there, too, so we'll have to plan for that. So here you go, pal. That's your opening.
There we go. Well, I'll take it and run with it.
Yeah.
First of all, before we address the wind in Cleveland, if anybody's planning to go outside in the next 5 or 10 minutes, I was just broadcasting from our roof, Sal. The snow was sideways. The wind just gusted to 60 miles an hour. And all of this occurred kind of on live TV. It was kind of crazy. So the wind is kind of wicked out there. So drive safe. Also a flash freeze taking place. That's the rain we had overnight. It's freezing up rapidly. So parking lots, sidewalks, streets, they're going to get icy pretty quick. So just a heads up.
Okay. Yeah, it's been very icy out there a little bit lately. And that's something that we have to deal with, obviously, this time of year when the weather changes as rapidly and distinctly as it does sometimes. But what are we looking at in Cleveland for Sunday's game?
Yes.
Because, I mean, you know, we think about maybe these two cities being very similar, and they are, but they're on opposite sides of the lake. I know the lake effect kind of affects each city a little bit differently, doesn't it?
Right. Oh, it does. I mean, for instance, one little thing, the water level in Cleveland may be about 5 or 6 feet lower than it will be in Buffalo today because the lake is doing that little, you know, slosh back and forth with these strong winds. So that's one thing. The wind, though, kind of doesn't bring a whole lot of lake effect snow to Cleveland. It does to areas just north and east. But yeah, the lake just does material things to us and to them, but just in different ways. And the lake will help kick up the wind a little bit in Cleveland on Sunday. But Sal, it is going to be breezy.
Okay.
Certainly nothing like it is here right now.
What are we talking breezy? What are we looking at as far as game time, temperatures, and elements, and through the game, 1 to 4 o'clock?
You got it. Okay. So kickoff, I would say a temperature of about 29, 30 degrees. The windiest part of the game will be the first half versus the second. Now, that's kind of the trend we're seeing again in the afternoon, is a decrease in the winds. The winds to start the game.
So just in time for the Bills to have a huge comeback again, right, you're saying?
That's exactly how they planned it, right?
That's right, yeah.
The wind will be 10 to 20, gusting to maybe 25 or 30 miles an hour, okay? So, yeah, that's breezy. I don't know if that's downright windy, but that's a breeze.
Yeah.
The wind should relax a little, though, by the second half. So we've certainly seen windier games. Wind may play a little bit of a factor, but, you know, we're on the order of 20 to 25 miles an hour in gusts, maybe 30.
Okay. Temperature-wise, because the wind can obviously impact, you know, the real feel here, what are we looking at as far as the game is concerned?
Well, so, yeah, the temperature is going to be around 29 to 30 degrees. At kick, and then second half, we're going to be probably in the low to mid 20s. Now, that brings in a wind chill, but, you know, players, I don't think, care too much about wind chill with them all being padded up and whatnot. But yeah, the temperatures are going to be cold. For your knowledge, the wind chill will actually be in the teens. But so it's
okay.
Going to be a cold day, and you on the sidelines, Sal, you're going to notice it. I mean, it's a day for you to layer up and bundle up, because that wind will add a chill, certainly.
All right. I will bring the ski goggles, because it's the wind is what gets you with the ski. I have to wear them, because the wind gets in your eyes. You know what I mean? That's the thing about it. It's not the snow necessarily. Sometimes that happens.
Right.
Are we looking at any snow or precipitation in any form, though?
No, not at all. The skies will see a mix of clouds and sun. No rain or snow or sleet or whatever it was that just was blowing on the roof here.
And then... a lot of people obviously will drive to the game from Buffalo, and that may happen tomorrow. That may happen Sunday morning. Is there anything to be aware of for anybody who's driving to Cleveland from Buffalo over the next, 48 hours?
Yeah, I don't see any issues. If you were leaving today for some reason, you had to get there early. Yes, you are going to have to navigate through snow, especially between, let's say here in the Pennsylvania state line. But tomorrow, there should be no issues whatsoever. And even on Sunday, you wouldn't leave Sunday. You'd be coming back Sunday. I don't even think there could be some snow showers for people returning Sunday afternoon. Monday should be fine. But for the travel down, there really is nothing to be worried about in terms of wind or snow. It's going to be a far quieter day tomorrow between here and there.
Patrick Hamer, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist. What are we looking at next week here in Buffalo as we head into Christmas? Is there a chance for a white Christmas, and what's it looking like?
Okay, I do sometimes want to express my emotion.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to just give you the facts, but the truth is, it's going to be a brown Christmas. It's going to be a muddy Christmas. And I'm kind of bummed out because the first half of this month was okay. If you're a fan of winter weather, it wasn't your cup of tea, but it was such a great setup, right? We had a lot of cold, deep snow, not necessarily in Buffalo, but we had some deeper snow in the South towns and across the hills, of course. And a lot of that went away last night because of the rain. And even though we are going to get some snow today, it's not going to be much, a coating to a half an inch in Buffalo, a few inches elsewhere. But the temperatures are going to be starting off the week kind of cool, but we're going to have a little rain and snow with 30s on Tuesday. And then Christmas Eve to Christmas Day, a chance of light rain with temperatures Christmas morning in the, near 40, and then in the afternoon near 50. So, it's going to be, it can get like that here. We don't always get a white Christmas, maybe two out of three. But this is not the year for it, unfortunately.
I have to tell you, though, you've nailed every time going back to November, I would say, what's December look like? And you nailed it. You said, let's start out warm. And then later you said, we're going to have a pretty good cool down, and it's going to get cold and some weather elements in the middle, and then it's going to get a little warmer again. And you've been right about that. So I'll put you on the spot here about how we're looking maybe heading into the new year after that, or any indications at least.
I'm glad we got that one right. January is a tougher call. Going to be just honest with you. If you were to put, if you wanted the Vegas odds on January, it would be pick 'em, there's some trends that are suggesting a deep return to winter. And then there are some suggestions given that January may turn out on the warmer side. I am going to, I know. And you're like, well, that How hard is
it? Way to play it there, weather guy. Way to hedge your bet, man.
I am not done. So I am putting all of my chips
all right.
on red.
I love this.
And red red happens to be cold, okay?
Okay.
Maybe I should have said I'll put all my chips on black. Let's do that. I'm putting all my chips on black, which means a trend towards colder and snowier weather. It may not be right at the new year, but maybe, you know, as we dive into January, it will trend that way. So,
hey, you've been bang on for what you've said. So we're gonna take that and say, okay, this is what Pat says. We're gonna be ready for it. A little bit of trivia about Cleveland and Buffalo too, by the way. We just talked about the lake and all that, and it's really interesting. I saw one time somewhere, and it's true. Buffalo is the only major city east of the Mississippi River that has a sunset mm-hmm. over a lake, over water.
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
It's amazing.
You can sit on the shores of Lake Erie
yep.
and see the sun, you know, set over water, and that can't happen anywhere else. And as somebody who grew up on the West Coast and who's used to that kind of thing,
yeah,
it's kind of cool to have it here as well. But yeah, that is true. I mean, okay, there might be some smaller cities on Lake Michigan, things like that. But even that, the lake isn't really wide enough for that to happen. So, or you know, the bottom line is, you're right. Buffalo is the only city that gets a West Coast style sunset, just in terms of geography. That's true.
Yeah, very. I mean, Cleveland, you could look a little west, and there's some water there, but it's not the same thing. You're not looking over the whole.
No, you got land that you're looking over
as well there.
This
you know?
Even just the other day. Sometimes if you don't drive along the lake shore, you don't really realize it. Our winter sunsets can be amazing. Okay,
yeah, 100%.
You may not get the full glory of a sun setting like in the summer, but just the colors and everything else, it's really something. But yeah, it's an interesting little fact about our crazy lake.
You're an OG football fan. I say that with a lot of respect. You know, you and I, we're both older guys now. We think about football.
Yeah,
Cleveland Browns players. They go back a long time. Any Cleveland Browns memories? Who do you remember from the Browns?
Well, so growing up, there wasn't a ton of history between them and the 49ers, even though I grew up in San Francisco, so I was a 49er fan. I'm going to be honest. They're one of the teams that I just don't have a big connection with.
Okay.
Despite, you know, I think I told you my grandfather was a football player briefly in the early 40s. But even then, I don't have much. I do know some of the Buffalo Bills history there. What was that crazy game? 8-0 or something? I think
8-0, 2007, 2007, the Blizzard game, right? That's yeah. I mean, you and I, Jim Brown was before us, right? I mean, Jim Brown, one of the greatest players ever. He's a little before us, right? But I mean, like, remember, I don't know if you're.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
remember the coach I first remember was Sam Rotigliano, good Italian guy, right? Sam Rotigliano.
Okay, right.
He was the first head coach. And then Brian Sipe was the first quarterback I remember. And then they had Bernie Kosar, obviously, for a while. I mean, they had some,
sure.
You know, they Ernest Biner and Kevin Byers, now I can't think of the other guy's name. Anyway, they had some really terrific players. Webster Slaughter. I went to that 89 playoff game, which was epic between the Bills and Browns, and the Bills lost that one.
Okay, if I ever have a kid who's going to become a football player, his name will be Webster Slaughter.
I love it.
Probably the best name. It's the best. It is the best. I will change my last name so my son can have it.
All right, buddy. Listen, have a great – I'm not going to talk to you until after Christmas, so – have a great Christmas. And just listen, thank you for all that you do. I know every week you come on this radio station. You don't have to do that. We ask you, and we've been doing it for years. And I'm telling you, it's a must-listen segment. I hear from people all the time. They can't wait to get their weather report from you. So I just want to tell you, honestly, we just appreciate it so much from all of us here at Odyssey and me personally.
Hey, I love doing it. I'm glad to be a part of it. And Merry Christmas to you. And everyone, be careful on the ice today. Just a heads up.
You got it, buddy. Thanks a lot, Pat. Have a great week.
Merry Christmas. Okay,
bye. Pat Hammer, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll wrap up your Northtown Automotive Extra Point show on a Buffalo Football Friday. All right. Such a good show today. We didn't have time to go through the entire NFL schedule. I will tell you, though, tomorrow, games on the docket. Eagles at Commanders at 5 p.m. That's the same time the Sabres play the Islanders, by the way, here in Buffalo. And then at night, how about this? Packers-Bears tomorrow night. Great 8:20 p.m. start for some football on a Saturday. Bills, Browns, Sunday, all day coverage for you here on WGR Sports Radio 550, as well as Sabres, Islanders tomorrow at 5. Sabres, Devils, Sunday at 7. Big sports weekend on tap here in Buffalo. We got you covered all weekend long on WGR Sports Radio 550, the Bills Radio Network, the Sabres Radio Network. Thanks a lot for coming aboard today on a Buffalo Football Friday. Thanks a lot to Dan Dale for producing. Have a great weekend. Talk to you on Monday, everybody. Sabres Live up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.